Welcome to the Cooldown Room with your host, Sky Upshaw, an F1 podcast where we talk all the things Formula. Welcome back, everybody. It's been actually quite a busy few days recently. It kind of went from like no F1 news to like so much F1 news. And so it's time for me to come back onto the Cooldown Room and give you a full update of everything that's been going on. We've had lots of news, and of course we have a race this weekend. So I'm going to be giving you everything you need to know all about the race this weekend. And yeah, let's go through some of the news that's happened. The first big news that we had this week was that Esteban Ocon will be leaving Alpine at the end of the year, moving elsewhere, or well, moving to do something else by 2025. So yeah, we kind of got the news. It was very sudden, and I still am unsure really what to think, because I wonder where this has come from. I know that Alpine were not happy at Esteban after the race they had in Monaco, due to the crash, of course. And so, yeah, you kind of wonder, how long has this thought been going on for, and who or which side did it come from more? I'm not entirely sure. It was very like mutual agreement, but a lot of the releases, the press releases will say that within F1, they like to make everything very nice and rounded. But behind the scenes, I'm sure there's a lot more to it. Looking at Esteban's future, there we go. I have so many questions, honestly. I think that he is a great driver and the car has not been brilliant, as we all know. But where is he going to go? What seats are available? The seats are getting more and more limited. And for Esteban, he's not going to be in a super amazing car necessarily, but he is far better than going over to somewhere like Haas. I know Alpine have been doing better than Haas, but Alpine in previous years has been one of the kind of middle ground, maybe kind of upper middle ground in many ways. They have won a few races. Esteban, of course, has won SC Bestie on the podium as well. So yeah, lots of talk around there. I think we also need to look at the fact that Mercedes are yet to choose their driver for Lewis's seat. So Esteban, I have a feeling, could well be on the cards for that, but is he good enough? I really don't know. We're gonna have to sort of find out. I think this weekend in Canada will be a really good opportunity for him to show what Alpine will miss and what another team wants. So if he can do well this weekend, he might have a good contract coming his way, but we will have to find out, as we always do with F1. A lot of waiting, of course. We also got some pretty big news from Red Bull. They kept releasing all this big stuff, like, watch out, watch out, watch out. So much going on. What's going on? What's going on? And the release, actually, their release came out only a couple days after Esteban was said to have, you know, ended the contract with Alpine. So everyone was like, is Esteban taking Checo's seat? Anyway, guys, it's fine. Checo, Sergio Perez is staying at Red Bull. Now, I think that was like a 50-50 for me. Like, I did think that he was going to stay. But honestly, now that it's come out, I'm fairly surprised, because in recent races, as we've seen, it hasn't gone to plan for Checo, and I'm not sure how Red Bull are feeling about it, but he is staying. He is staying for the future. And I mean, that's great for him. He has clearly shown himself enough that Red Bull need him. What I think Red Bull are really thinking with keeping Checo there, is that team has changed so much. And though I'm sure part of them would like a younger, fresher driver, they also feel very safe with Checo. Checo's a great driver and he's there for the team. He's always there to kind of pretty much do whatever they need to be done, particularly for Max within the championship. And he's always done that. He's proven himself. He's proven he's a team player. And it would be pretty silly of them now to lose that, I have to say, because they've lost so many important people in that team. And there's some pretty dodgy kind of vibes going on with different important people in the team, so they need to be really careful. And I think, yeah, keeping a little bit of stability, a little bit of nostalgia, keeping Checo there. So I think that's good for them, and of course great for Checo. Hoping he'll be able to prove a little bit more over the next few races that he does deserve that seat, because I know so many people would be saying that he doesn't deserve to be there, and that, yeah, he should be ditched. But I'm not saying anything. I think we need to wait and see. I do think Checo is a great driver, and I think he's had an unfortunate few weeks. Actually, weeks is definitely an understatement. an unfortunate few months more so. So now we move on to some very recent news that for me came out today. And I was actually not expecting this at all. We have had the 2026 car release from the FIA, and there was literally no pre-warning on this, guys. I don't know if I've just missed something, but it kind of, the FIA said that something was coming today, and then a few hours later, I've just got this thing pop up that we've got the brand new race regulation car for 2026. So of course we're gonna have to talk quite a lot about this, because the car is changing a lot, and there's been so many sort of comments and thoughts about what's gonna happen, a lot of anticipation ready for the car reveal. And honestly, I don't think we should be that disappointed at all. I think the FIA have really listened to the fans, listened to the drivers and the teams, taken everything on board and tried their best to solve most of our thoughts, views, comments and problems. If you haven't already seen it, the car looks in a lot of ways identical, and then in a lot of ways very, very different to the car that we have at the moment. It is actually evidently smaller. Okay, I will talk about the exact regulations, but this car has shrunk in size. It's actually shrunk by 20 centimeters in length and 10 centimeters in width. And that was for me quite surprising. I really didn't think that they were going to shrink this car, seeing how big it's gotten. I think they're just going to leave it as is. I think they're just going to say that's it. But yeah, and then I heard about the weight, and then I'm not surprised. So they have also reduced the weight of this car by 30 kilograms. And of course, that is a lot of kgs when you're, the car itself is already like 798 kilograms. So they've taken 30 kilograms off of it. It's now 768 kilograms in total, just the car, no wheels, no driver, no helmet, nothing else. But that's a big change, 30 kg. If you pick up 32 kg weight, you go up, yeah, that's enough. What's really fun now is the teams have like a year and a half to look at this car, assess what they need to do, and get on with their planning. I think next year is going to be quite a kind of rushed job, because it's the last year that we have with the cars we've had for so many years now. Everyone is going to be looking ahead for that 2026 championship, and I think so much can happen. But it does kind of mean next year is kind of like a middle ground. It's a very gray area. There might well be one of the smaller teams suddenly come in a little bit more on top, because they've put some time and effort into the car for next year. Or we could just see, you know, all the bigger teams, the faster teams up there. I don't really know. So all in all, I think we should be very excited for the 2026 season and everything leading up to it. We've got, of course, new drivers coming in, we've got drivers changing round, some really big names changing to really big teams. It's just gonna be great fun. The other massive change that is coming in 2026, this is big. DRS is being removed entirely, and they are replacing it with something called Active Aero. So the whole concept of DRS, of course, we all know this, but let me recap. When a car is within 1 second of the car ahead, the rear wing right now will open, meaning that the car will go faster due to the airflow. There's been so much sort of controversy around the DRS, because loads of people love it, but then at some points during racing you get like a DRS train, and it's so unbelievably boring. They needed to do something about it, and I think they've actually gone about this a really good way. At the moment, on a lap, you have DRS zones, okay? DRS zones are not going to be removed for 2026. Instead, those DRS zones, every single lap, the drivers will be able to open their rear wings on the straights or within the DRS zones that we currently have. Not only are they allowed to open their rear wings, but the front wing has been changed so that there's something in there that they can open the front wing and let more air flow through, meaning that basically all the cars will be going equally faster. And of course, if they can design appropriately, they can go faster than others having that rear wing open, and then it will close for the corners to help them with downforce, and then it'll open back up for the next straight. Really good idea, I think. So what they've done to replace the DRS thought of, you know, car ahead, the following the whole overtaking strategy, is they have come up with Active Aero. Active Aero basically means that when a car is within 1 second of a car ahead, they get a short little boost of energy to make the car go faster, like DRS would, but without the whole downforce, without all the dirty air, etc., etc. So you basically just get more power to put into your lap just during that short little time on the straight. So yeah, it's going to help with overtaking, and it should mean that we get far less of the whole DRS train, meaning that, yeah, it's going to be easier for the cars to overtake instead of being stuck behind one another for laps and laps and laps. I mean, we have drivers like Fernando Alonso who are like known for being really good at starting and continuing a DRS train. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm really looking forward to learning a little bit more about it. We've had a few write-ups so far from the FIA, and we'll only get more information within the next few months. The total downforce of the new cars is actually been reduced by 30%, and the total drag on the cars has actually been reduced by 55%. That is like half of the drag that we're having at the moment. So that's another thing. The cars are going to be fast, really fast. They're smaller, they're going to be more agile. I think it's just going to mean better racing overall. So now that we've had a little debrief on the 2026 cars, let's get into the Canadian Grand Prix. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this weekend. I'm excited. It's round 9. We're heading to Montreal in Canada. The circuit is called Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, and it is named after previous F1 driver from Canada, Gilles Villeneuve, that is his name. If you haven't heard of him already, he was a Canadian F1 driver. He raced for Ferrari, and he was the first driver to win at this track during its first ever race in 1978. Gilles actually died during a fatal accident at the Belgium Grand Prix of 1982, and so this track is, to be honest, one of my favourites. It obviously commemorates him. We have something called the Wall of Champions at the chicane at turn 13 and 14. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to support and respect and appreciate past drivers like we have been able to at the past few races, and this race as well. It is, in fact, a street circuit, which means there's lots of high walls. The track is quite narrow and it's a lot of fun. Unlike usual street tracks, we do actually get a fair bit of overtaking here. The track itself isn't really narrow, and so we get lots of nice long straights. We actually have 3 DRS zones and 2 separate detection zones. One of the DRS zones is basically 1, and then it has a little chicane, which is where the Wall of Champions is, and then it goes on for the second DRS zone. So if you've got, you know, close racing at the first DRS zone, it's make or break at that chicane. Like, super fun. The track is 4.361 kilometers long, and we're going to have 70 laps on Sunday. There are 14 turns in total, including a chicane and also a hairpin at turn 10. This track has a lot of slow speed corners, and as I mentioned before, there are a lot of high walls, so it is a lot of good racing here. Now, we must talk about the weather, because the weather is a big conversation at the moment, because the FIA have actually looked at postponing or even cancelling parts of the weekend, including free practice. And also, there's been conversation of cancelling the whole thing. I think that's off of the table now, but there are weather warnings. There's thunder, there's lightning, there's a lot of rain over the whole weekend. We are going to be seeing a lot of wet tyres. This track, we've had a lot of rain at before, and we know how it goes. It's chaos, and it's great to watch, but really tough on the drivers, the teams, the cars, everything. So yeah, Friday is going to be rain. Saturday is going to be rain and maybe even some thunder and lightning. And Sunday is going to be rain, but for the race or during the race time, at the moment it says that we should be having just some sun and dark clouds. So we could be having some light showers. The coldest recorded race ever was actually recorded at Montreal in 1978 during its first race, and it got down to 5 degrees Celsius. We go to all these tracks where it's like 35 degrees Celsius, super hot, everyone is overheating. And then here in Montreal in 1978, we had it at 5 degrees. 5 degrees. Our last race in 2023 ended with Max Verstappen taking first, Fernando Alonso taking second, and Lewis Hamilton taking third. The tyres allocated for this weekend by Pirelli are the C3 for hard, the C4 for mediums, and the C5 for soft. But of course, I don't think we'll be seeing many of these sets over the weekend, as we will have to be using the wets and the intermediates pretty much the whole weekend, it looks like. Now, I know over the past few weekends, Max Verstappen hasn't necessarily had the same run that he had This time last year, he was miles ahead in the championship, with everyone kind of knowing straight away he was going to be taking the win way before even halfway through the year. That is not the case at the moment. As of today, Max Verstappen has 169 points in the championship. Charles Leclerc has 138. There is just 31 points between Max and Charles. And of course, if Max goes ahead and wins this race and Charles DNFs, then you know, we could be seeing that lead grow again. But seeing the car's performance and Max's performance over the past few race weekends, I think we have another battle on our hands, honestly. The Ferrari has improved so much in the past few races, and the Red Bull has pretty much stayed the same, and in a fair few ways gotten worse. They've just, I think it's been a bit of luck related. They haven't had the best streak, or they didn't have the best streak. Their qualifying laps haven't been as good as previously either. It's going to bring more excitement as we go through the year. It depends, obviously, each weekend as we go. Sergio Perez is currently running in fifth in the championship, and that is quite a bit worse than it was last year. I know that he obviously finished second in the championship last year, and I really don't see that happening as of right now, unless he starts winning like loads of races. And actually in third right now is Lando Norris, and he has 113 points, and that is so good to see, because he could well be in this fight for at least second in the championship right now. I mean, we're only on round 9 of 24, and so yeah, we have lots to go, but it's looking good, it's looking exciting. Over the course of the next week, I'm going to be recording a brand new podcast relating entirely to the 2026 regulations car. So I would like you to go ahead and comment any questions you have on either my most recent post on Instagram, or just reply to my story. I'll have a Q&A up there just so you can write your comments, or just swipe up and reply depending on when you hear this podcast. Let me know what you want to know in particular, because obviously I'm going to be running through the basic stuff, but if there's something in particular that you want to know, let me know, ask the question. I will try and answer as many as possible, and yeah, let's learn about this car way ahead of when we need to, just so that we feel super cool when we talk about it. And yeah, we're gonna know what the active aero is like better than anyone else. So yeah, but I think it's a lot to take in. This sport is pretty confusing already, and if you're new to the sport right now and you're coming in learning everything, particularly if you've just learned everything for like this year or next year, suddenly new regulations come in, new car, new everything, and you're gonna have to relearn. I mean, we're relearning anyway, but it's harder when you've, anyway, I'm gonna make sure you guys know everything. Let's make it simple, that is not the right word. Let's make it as simple as possible. So yeah, I guess I'll see you for that in, well, like a week. Anyway, between now and then, I hope you enjoyed this weekend. I hope you enjoyed the Canadian Grand Prix. And yeah, head over to my other social medias at SkyOfficial, SkyOfficial. And give me a follow, give me a comment, give me a like. I love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, you will hear from me very soon. Bye.